This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio, and that's Judy Collins singing How Are Things in Glaucomora. And we'll be talking with Ernie Harburg to find out how things are going in Glaucomora. He's the son of lyricist Yip Harburg, who wrote the words to the musical Finian's Rainbow, enjoying a revival on Broadway, taking it by storm.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighbor atheist of the airwaves. And this show was for the weekend of November 7th and 8th to 2009. And the songwriter is Burton Lane, and the musical that song is from is Finian's Rainbow. Free Thought Radio is a weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are an organization of atheists and agnostics working to keep state and church separate and to educate the public about the views of non-believers. And I've been asking you for jokes, and some of you have sent them in. I forget who sent this new one in, but this one was funny. One Sunday morning, a mother knocked on her son's door and said, "Honey, it's time to get up and go to church." And her son said, "I don't want to. I'm not going to church today." And she said, "But it's Sunday morning. We always go to church. What's wrong?" And her son said, "Well, all the Sunday school teachers hate me. And all the kids, they call me names and they poke me and make fun of me. And the choir members, they scowl at me while they're singing. I don't want to go to church." And the mother says, "Well, you have to go to church today. After all, you're 42 years old and you are the pastor."
That's a pastor joke. Well, we have two fun guests today. We have a return visit from our friendly neighborhood atheist editor cartoonist, Steve Benson,
who came up with the slogan. Steve came up with the brand new slogan for our brand new bus sign that just went up this week on 100 king-size ads just went up this week on the outside of buses in Seattle.
And the message is, we're not going to tell you what it is. You'll have to stay tuned, but it's what we would call jolly but irreverent.
And we'll talk to Steve about that in a few minutes. On the second half of today's show, we'll talk with another of our favorite free thinkers, as Annie Laurie said, Ernie Harburg, who's the son of Yip Harburg, and Ernie is the director of the Yip Harburg Foundation in New York City. Ernie has a brand new book out. I think I have a copy even before he has seen it. So we'll talk a little bit about his new book and about his free-thinking father, the famous lyricist E.Y. Yip Harburg, who's the songwriter who put the rainbow in The Wizard of Oz, which was the title of an earlier book that Ernie wrote, who wrote Somewhere Over the Rainbow and Finian's Rainbow. And we'll talk about the famous musical Finian's Rainbow, which is getting really good reviews this month on Broadway.
And this is nostalgic for us because Ernie Harburg was our first guest on our very first Free Thought Radio broadcast, which was back in the spring of 2006, so we'll enjoy catching up.
But before we call Steve Benson on the phone, we have some quick news updates.
And first, the bad news. The 20-year-old woman from Iraq whose father had run her over with a car 2 weeks ago because she was, quote-unquote, too westernized, died. She died on Monday in an Arizona hospital. Her father went on the lam, but he's now in custody, and he was particularly critical of her non-Muslim form of dress, so it's very tragic.
On the healthcare front, we had to pre-record today's show since this is broadcasting while we are at our 32nd Annual National Convention of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Seattle. By the way, the convention featuring Ron Reagan and Ursula K. Le Guin. So we don't have the gift of prophecy. We don't know what is happening or what has happened with the vote over health care in Congress. But assuming this is still moving as slow as molasses, if you have not yet contacted your U.S. senators, please make a fuss over the shocking provision in the health care overhaul bill that would require insurers to cover Christian Science, and we presume other prayer treatments, as medical expenses.
Because we all want to be sure that when they pray over children dying of untreated diabetes, etc., that these practitioners get properly reimbursed.
Is that sarcasm?
Yes, as I'm, forgive my sarcasm, but it's really a life and death issue not to encourage parents to pray over their ill children. And this unconstitutional provision was inserted by Senator Orrin G. Hatch, Mormon from Utah, as I like to say. That's his political stance, with the support of Democratic Senators John F. Kerry and the late Edward Kennedy. And the link there is that they are both coincidentally from Massachusetts, home to the headquarters of the powerful Christian Science Lobby.
In the Christian Science Church, which is in Boston. There hasn't been much attention, but on Tuesday, the LA Times did run a big story about this, quoting, as a matter of fact, my co-host Annie Laurie Gaylor, among others, and we hope this provision will be removed as the public learns about it and protests it. Coming up, learn what the Freedom From Religion Foundation's splashy and beautiful new bus signs are saying in Seattle. 100 king-size ads went up on the outside of buses in Seattle, Washington this week for a month, and 300 signs on the interior of the buses.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker, and you're listening to Free Thought Radio over Air America Radio. And coming up, Steve Benson, the ex-Mormon editorial cartoonist for the Arizona Republic.
And his editor says, one cartoon is worth 1,000 phone calls or emails.
And then we'll be talking with author and retired scientist Ernie Harburg. We're going to talk about Ernie's latest book, his famous songwriter father, his dad, Yip Harburg, and why they're both atheists. So let's go out listening to one of the world's favorite songs written by Yip Harburg and sung, I think this is the most memorable version of it, by that famous 16-year-old singer.
Hi, my name is Sharon Elizabeth from Chicago, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Speaking freely, thinking freely. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Coming up, Ernie Harburg to talk about who put the rainbow in The Wizard of Oz, the New York revival of his dad, Yip Harburg's musical, Finian's Rainbow, this month, and about his newest book.
And now we have on the phone with us from Arizona, Steve Benson, the editorial cartoonist of the Arizona Republic, the grandson of former Mormon president slash prophet Ezra Taft Benson, and Steve, needless to say, is no longer a Mormon. He's, in fact, an atheist, and he made a wonderful suggestion to us about a new slogan that we might want to put on a bus. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation thought it was a great idea. Steve did a drawing, and it's now on 100 new king-size bus signs that went up this week in Seattle. We'll let Steve
tell us
what it says.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Steve.
Ho, 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 happy unholy days.
So this sign, we know what the sign said because we got your design and we worked with the bus company, and so it's up now. In fact, we have photographs from I-5 in Seattle. So tell our listeners who don't know what our brand new holiday greeting sign says on 100 buses in Seattle this month.
Well, it's just so offensive. It shows Santa smiling, jovial, wagging his finger in a friendly reminder sort of way, and saying in big capital red letters with little holly in the corners of the sign,
"How festive.
Yes, Virginia, there is no God." And then it links to your wonderful organization, and then has in even smaller lettering, my name at the bottom.
That's right. We wanted to give you a credit.
Well, this
Did
was...
you know that, you know, Satan and Santa are the same, you know, lettering?
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Wow. But, so Santa Anna is Satan Anna.
Satan. But, you know, I think it's great that this sign is going up on Seattle buses because for too long, Christians during this time of the year have had a free ride. They think they can, you know, push their beliefs, pagan as they are, you know, because as we all know, the Christmas tradition was borrowed long before Jesus ever came onto the scene, supposedly, from ancient mythological, you know, traditions of the pagans. So I think it's great that we can push back against the mythological Jesus with the mythological Santa Claus. I mean, what's
yes,
the
and,
problem?
And actually, I think it would be much more controversial if it said, "Yes, Virginia, there is no Santa."
Yeah, we're not saying that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we don't want to push the site into total chaos.
Okay, we do have a very educated listenership, but there might be a couple of listeners who don't get the reference.
The young people might not get it.
To Yes, Virginia. Why say Yes, Virginia?
Well, it's like saying, "Yes, we have no bananas." If people
right. But it's from the Yeah, huh? It's from that who it was that editorial writer who came up with that famous column.
Yes, in 1897, Virginia wrote a letter to a New York newspaper asking the editor if there was a Santa Claus. And the newspaper then replied with an in-house editorial saying, "Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, and his spirit pervades all, and as it does good in the world, and blah, 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 blah." And I thought, okay, well, we can use that same line of quote-unquote thinking to, you know, point out the mythological basis for Jesus. Yes, there is a Jesus. He can't stand me. He doesn't do anything, but he makes us all feel good, you know. And I think that if we're going to have an omniscient, I can't even say it. I've been out of church so long. I need to go back to Sunday school. If we're going to have an omniscient God who looks into your lives and knows when you've been sleeping and knows when you're awake and will give you either presents or send you to hell, we can counter that with an omniscient Santa who knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. So it's the titanic battle of the cartoon characters, Jesus versus Santa, and Santa wins in Seattle.
Now, are you surprised that the bus company would even take a sign like that?
I used to live in the Northwest. I live 35 miles south of Seattle in Tacoma, which the aroma of Tacoma, of course, we won't get into with all the pulp mills down there. But I think Seattle is a really funky town, and I think they're open. I mean, and they're laid back, and they like their unique coffee, and they dress funny, and they do their own thing. So I was surprised, to be honest with you, however, that despite, you know, their inclinations to be open-minded, that the city of Seattle would actually approve this kind of a satanic, you know, undermining of the holy myth.
You think Phoenix
Jesus.
Would take it?
Huh?
You think Phoenix would take it?
Well, Phoenix has had a history with your billboards down here.
Yeah, we did.
Like
we...
they've been vandalizing the lights on them.
Imagine our religion we had for a while.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to see.
I think it would be provocative. I think this is great. We're getting an increasing percentage of the world's population defining themselves now as unchurched and in some cases even atheistic. And so I think it's a very legitimate role of a pluralistic society to allow all points of view. And I commend the metro area of Seattle for supporting free speech at the expense of religious dogmatism.
And at the expense of the Freedom from Religion Foundation, because it wasn't cheap. So we are good.
Well.
You know, we're supporting the economy.
What are you going to do? Are you going to bill me?
No, not you. But I'm saying we think it's good to. It's patriotic to support mass transit in this bad economic time. So it's well
there
worth
you go.
Spending
well,
it. But we did have to do a disclaimer. Did I tell you that?
You had to do a disclaimer?
There had to be a 72-point size disclaimer saying that the advertisement was paid for, and I can't remember.
By us and not by
And
them.
Not by the city. That's okay. It didn't spoil the look.
Has the city done that in the past?
This I do not know, and that's a very good question.
Hmm.
I should find out.
Okay, here we go again. You got the basis for another lawsuit. You take the Supreme Court.
We're not going to
sue
the
bus. They made us do this in 72.1. It should have been in, like, microscopic point.
And then, of course, Steve, you know that we took your brilliant design, and you gave us permission to put out greeting cards. So we have...
For your listening audience, I did not pay Annie Laurie to say this. I don't have any money to pay her.
Well, we're not paying you either for it.
Right, so we appreciate it.
And you did send me a batch of those cards, and I thought they were kind of cute. And thanks. I'm going to alienate my believing Mormon families, family members even more. Thanks a lot.
Well, you know, everyone we tried out your slogan on, and we tried it out on zillions of people before we decided to go for it with the bus sign, just threw back their head and laughed. We just think it's funny.
Now, I'm glad they did, because I thought it was funny, and I thought it was true, and I thought it was provocative, and that's what billboards do. That's what cartoons do. You take simple concepts, and you go for some, you know, jaw-dropping shock value.
Yeah.
And that's the power of art.
That's been paying your rent for the last 30 years, hasn't it?
Exactly.
Steve. We're out of time here. Thank you.
And God bless all the little children, everyone.
Or Santa bless all the little children.
And if you want to see this, what this looks like, you can go to the Freedom From Religion Foundation website. Under the news link, there's a news release up, and there's going to be a lot of media coverage, and it's very darling. And thank you very, very much for donating.
Happy unholy days.
That's Steve Benson, editorial cartoonist for the Arizona Republic. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. Coming up in the second half of our show, we'll speak with Ernie Harburg, who's the son of Yip Harburg, the famous lyricist who wrote Somewhere Over the Rainbow and who wrote the musical Finian's Rainbow, which is enjoying a really good revival right now in New York City. Ernie is a scientist and an activist in his own right, and he has a brand new book that just came off the press. It's called The Del Rio Bar.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so.
She was born, said her father, said he, I've an elegant legacy waiting for ye. 'Tis a rhyme for your lip and a song for your heart, to sing it whenever the world falls apart. Look, look, look to the rainbow, follow it over the hill and stream. Look, look, look to the rainbow, follow the fellow who follows a dream.
So I bundled me heart and I roamed the world free.
That's Petula Clark and Fred Astaire singing the song Look to the Rainbow. It's from the musical Finian's Rainbow, words by the lyricist Yip Harburg, music by Burt Lane. And Finian's Rainbow is experiencing a very welcome and exciting revival right now on Broadway.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker, and we've got Ernie Harburg on the phone with us from the Yip Harburg Foundation.
And Ernie is the son of Yip Harburg, but he's also, of course, much more than the son of somebody famous. Ernie is a research scientist in the departments of psychology and epidemiology at the University of Michigan. He's emeritus now. He's also the president of the Yip Harburg Foundation in New York City, which promotes both the creative works of the famous lyricist and Yip's commitment to social justice and world peace. And We're also going to talk in the second part of the second segment about the new book that Ernie wrote, which kind of combines both of those issues. So welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Ernie.
Yeah, hi there, Dan. Hi, Annie.
Oh, hello. Nice to have you back. And you were our very first guest.
In April of 2006, our very first guest.
And I wanted to thank you also for agreeing to be part of the Freedom from Religion Foundation's new honorary board.
Oh, sure.
So we have Steven Pinker and Oliver Sacks and you.
Oh, that's a
And many others, I hope, but that's a very nice start. So
it's pretty exciting now. Finian's Rainbow is having a revival. When was it first on Broadway?
In 1947.
Wow.
In January. Yeah, that's amazing. At 62 years.
And this is the first revival since it was on Broadway?
Actually, the first major revival, yes. There have been small ones on limited runs off Broadway. In fact, one of the really stunning ones was just about 5 years ago by the Irish Repertory Theater. And it got rave reviews from everybody.
Well, this one is getting rave reviews. And have you seen it now?
Yes, I've seen it several times.
They let you in, huh?
I have to go back and see it again.
Well, I heard that you couldn't get, it was sold out and you couldn't go to the opening. Is that right?
Well, no. The producer, David Richendahl, had set aside a lot of tickets for those of us who were interested, and we got good seats.
Well, I hope we'll be able to see it in December when Dan and I are there. I hope it's not sold out.
When you come in, and we'll set it up.
Okay,
for you.
Thank you.
And so it's very timely, as one of the stories pointed out. Finian's Rainbow starts with a foreclosure, and what were Yip and Bert doing? What was their whole point of the musical?
Well, there was another person, a third person, Fred Sadie, involved in collaborated with Yip on the book, and then Yip collaborated with Bert on the songs. So the three men are involved in creating this amazing and original musical satire. You see, that what makes it amazing is that, first place, musical satire is very rare on Broadway. In fact, you can count on your one hand how many there are ever since Gershwin's Strike Up the Band. Secondly, the thing is that it's an original book. There are very few. In fact, this may be the only one that was originally conceived by the authors and not taken from a novel or a film or other places. So it's quite a unique thing in American musical theater history. And a lot of people didn't know how to take it at the time because it was full of original, satiric, and whimsical kind of matter, which it just doesn't, most people just, a lot of the critics just couldn't understand where it was coming from.
Well, that song,
and apparently they still don't.
That song, When the Idle Poor Become the Idle Rich, is just a genius bit of lyrical writing.
Yeah, we'll hear that in a little bit, part of it.
Yes, exactly. But that would be one example. Then there's Necessity, which is stops the show. And there's something sort of grandish. It's one major masterpiece after the other. There's no other show like it.
No, it's also very timely because it has to do with financial corruption.
That's correct. The attack was on two matters of American culture. One was racism, which Yip thought was sheer idiocy. And there was a senator from Mississippi and a representative, and one was Bilbo and the other was Rankin. And they said some awful things on the congressional floor.
Oh, you mean when it came out in the
40s? Yeah, when it first came out, they used the N-word. They called people communists. They were really off the wall. They made Rush Limbaugh look almost safe, you know.
Now, it's set in.
So Yip decided that the racism had to be hit. And so one of the things that he did was to take a white Southern senator, obviously bigoted, and transform him magically into a black American. And I don't think that many people enjoyed that either, except the audience, but the critics were very uncomfortable. And the second thing it did, it took a real hard hit satirically and humorously at racism and at capitalism through the idea of foreclosure and of free credit and of all the things that are happening again and periodically in this capitalist century's adventure with people's hopes and dashing them. So that the thing is still timeless.
Yes. And
what it's talking about is still with us. And the songs, because of the music and the lyrics, are still timeless.
Well, they're immortal. I mean, those songs, How Are Things in Glacamora and Look to the Rainbow and Old Devil Moon is still a jazz standard that we hear a lot. They really made that musical transcend.
Yes, true. But I think everybody is in agreement that this is one of the most unusual American musicals because it of the score. Every single song is a masterpiece in itself. You don't have that kind of thing. But I think they tend to overlook the satire because they're just not used to this kind of attacks on racism and aspects of capitalism, which are not doing us any good.
Well, so there's some revolutionary ideas. And your dad was, as we've said on the show before, a non-believer. Yip Harburg Foundation worked with the foundation and were so gracious, our foundation, so that we could kind of reprint and redo your dad's rhymes for the irreverent. So he was really interested in all the vital issues of the day.
And, yes, absolutely.
And so let's listen to some of those revolutionary words. We're talking with Ernie Harburg, son of lyricist Yip Harburg. We're talking right now about Finian's Rainbow. We'll be back to talk with Ernie about his new book. But this is the song, When the Idle Poor
Become the Idle Rich.
It's artist Ella Logan and artist David Wayne. So let's listen for a moment.
Become the idle rich. You'll never know just who is who or who is which. Won't it be rich when everyone's poor relative becomes a rocker relative and palms no longer itch? What a switch
when we all have vermin and plastic teeth. How will we determine who's who underneath?
And when all your neighbors are upper class,
you won't know your Joneses from your Esters.
Let's toast the day we drink our drinky up, but with the little pinky up.
The day on which the idle poor become the idle rich.
Hi, my name is Kathy from Rochester, Minnesota. I'm on Free Thought Radio.
When a rich man doesn't want to work, he's a bon vivant.
Yes, he's a bon vivant.
But when a poor man doesn't want to work, he's a loafer, he's a lounger, he's a lazy good-for-nothing.
He's a jerk!
It ain't necessarily so.
Mr. Mahoney, it takes two to make a valley legend.
I look at you and suddenly something in your eyes I see soon begins bewitching me. It's that old devil moon that you stole from the skies. It's that old devil moon in your eyes. And your glance make this romance too hard to handle. Stars in the night blaze in the light.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio, and that's the song Old Devil Moon from Finn's Rainbow, and that's the original Broadway cast singing it. And we have on the phone today the son of the lyricist for Finian's Rainbow, Yip Harburg, who also wrote Somewhere Over the Rainbow. We've been talking to Ernie about the revival of Finian's Rainbow. And Ernie, you also have a new book out that just came out this week.
Yeah.
I just got a copy of it.
Wonderful.
Tell us the title. Tell us the title, and it's kind of a different topic, but it's kind of the same thing, social justice and equality.
One of Yip's songs, on a great Come and Get It Day, he says, come all you free and equal people. Come, all right? And the title for this book is Liberty, Equality, Consensus, and All That Jazz at the Del Rio Bar. I own that bar with three other people.
Where was it?
In Ann Arbor, Michigan. We started in the late 60s. It ran for 35 years. And one of the unusual aspects of it was that no one could give anybody an order. In other words, we ran it on a full consensus basis. And that was a very unusual experiment. And it limped along. And we learned a lot of things from it. And as a result, I decided to go on record and put it out in book form. And All That Jazz really refers to the fact that we did have free jazz every Sunday, and we used every different kind of jazz motifs and bands and groups that were around at that time.
Well, this book is a slice of history and a kind of a retrospective of an era, the 60s, the 70s, and everything that went along with all that freedom and experimentation. But in the book, it looks like there were spurts and failures, but on balance, the whole thing held together. Was there no actual leadership? How did you run a bar with no leadership?
Well, I'll tell you now, we tried to do it without leadership, but on looking back, one of the things I learned in writing the book was that we did indeed have leadership. So the ideal of having a group, a collective without a leader is false. So I could tell you that from our experiment. On the other hand, informal leadership prevailed. And the kind of authority that the state gave the owners was also diluted by the consensus operation, because we only had one voice at the monthly meeting. But the thing is that it was in the historical context of the Civil Rights Revolution, the anti-war dissent, the women's final historical revelation that pushed them into irreversible victories legally that allowed them to go forward in their struggle. And also there was the fourth movement was that against authoritarianism and all of the kind of things that plutocrats and army and military like to pull on civilians.
No, I haven't read your book yet because we just got it. did your dad get to see the bar?
No. Dad, Yip died back in 81, but I made it clear in the book that my background in terms of experimenting with democratic process in the workplace came from Yip's vast philosophy of fighting for social justice everywhere, for the laboring people, for everyone.
Well, the book is peppered with a lot of your dad's poetry, some from the book that we published, and there's also some wonderful photographs in here. Everybody's dressed very casually, and there were also some free thinkers, because somebody wrote on the wall, cleanliness is next to nothing.
I remember that.
So the book is called Liberty, Equality, Consensus, and All That Jazz at the Del Rio Bar, written by Ernie Harburg. And you had some co-writers Eve Silberman and Larry Behnke as well.
Yes, they helped because they took, one of them took extensive interviews, Eve Silberman did, and Larry Behnke had a diary of his 10-year experiences back there, and I drew liberally on them.
Well,
I would like to sum the whole thing up by a paragraph at the end. Science, secular morality, consensual conflict resolution, and secular government with the consent of the governed protected by the human rights, not war, not the supernatural, and not authoritarian ideologies, are the path for the human race to develop a good society.
Well, I can say amen to that, Ernie Harburg, and thank you so much for joining us. And if you want to know more about Yip Harburg's views on religion, be sure to get Rhymes for the Irreverent from FFRF.org. And we thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's been wonderful. Good to talk with you. And I hope you guys come in so we can all go see the show.
That'll be fun.
All right, great.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We also want to thank our other guest, Steve Benson, and our engineer today, Dan Ginsberg. Our announcer is Buzz Kemper. Go to FFRF.org/radio to hear it archived and to get onto the podcast.
And this is a weekly show, and we'll be back next week for more blasphemous radio and rational broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.